Well, as usual, Yahweh is helping me this morning with the message. It seems like a lot of things that occur tie in with what is planned to be spoken. And I got a call, and it was a call of complaints, well, concerns as well, but I sensed the complaining behind the words. And that's a situation that will be taken care of, I'm sure. Ultimately, all things are in Yahweh's hands, and we can trust in Him to work out these things, whatever they may be. The last time we spoke about wilderness complaints, and we'll speak about wilderness complaints again, about the times that Yahweh was tested by the children of Israel, something that we could do today, something that we do not want to do, though, today. We saw that they tested and complained to Yahweh at the Red Sea, at Marah, where the waters were bitter, in the wilderness of sin, and even concerning the instructions concerning manna. They complained, they tested Yahweh, but He was being patient, and He's still being patient with Israel up to this point. I think one thing that we learned as far as a lesson or application last time was stop complaining. If it's not in black and white for you, I don't know how else to put it. But we find that we are not to complain. And I find myself having to bite my tongue at times. And sometimes I'm sure I do complain and you know, need to repent of such things. And I think all of us could raise our hands to say, you know, I had something this week I could complain about. But certainly we have lots of things that we can be thankful for and are to think upon and be thankful to Yahweh when we come in His presence. We'll start out like we started out last time, Numbers 14, 22 through 23. Yahweh speaking, "Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it." Very severe. Very severe words, very severe condemnation. And it's a warning for us. We find that we looked at 4 items of complaints or of testings. We're going to look at a 5th one here with instructions concerning the Sabbath. Exodus 16 and verse 22 through 24. "Now on the 6th day they gathered 2 omers, 2 omers for each one. Then all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what Yahweh meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil. All that is left over aside to be kept until morning.' So they put aside until morning as Moses had ordered and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it." But it continues in verse 25 through 30. "Moses said, 'Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the 7th day, the Sabbath, there will be none.'" Verse 27, "It shall come about on the 7th day that some," or "it came about on the 7th day that some of the people went out together, and they found none. And then Yahweh said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions?'" You can tell at this point that Yahweh is really starting to get upset with the people. He is not happy. And Moses says, see, Yahweh has given, Yahweh is still speaking here, verse 29. "See, Yahweh has given you the Sabbath, therefore He gives you bread for 2 days on the 6th day. Remember every man in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the 7th day. So the people rest on the 7th day. You know, this principle of being given more on the 6th day, that's the same principle we find with the sabbaticals. And if you want to know when the sabbatical is, just look for the year when there's a bounty. That's a good indication. But we have a mini study on that subject itself. But the people were blessed, even though they complained against Yahweh. They did these things, and in this instance, they outright disobeyed. They didn't do what Yahweh had told the people to do through Moses. But they were blessed with a double portion on the 6th day. so that they keep the Sabbath. But the lesson application for us in thinking about the manna portions provided on the sixth day and how Israel went out on the seventh looking for more, do we ever think Yahweh doesn't give us our fair share? Because they must have been greedy for more, because they were given enough the sixth to have for the seventh. And we know that there are people starving the world, the kind of starvation that causes you to put the fist into your stomach. This was mentioned by those that went through the Holocaust. They had to put their fist up inside of their stomach to stop the hunger pains. These are the type of things that are even going on today in some parts of the world. We're extremely blessed. If you watch any of the news from overseas, we are blessed beyond measure. And what does this nation do? As a people, we curse Yahweh. We do not bless him. For the majority, just do not follow his ways. In this passage of Exodus 16, we see Yahweh starts to get very angry with the people with this fifth testing. And we know Yahweh is merciful, forgiving, kind, but continuing to disrespect him. Not following his instructions is a sure way to bring on his anger and wrath. Now, some use this area of scripture to show that we are not to go out of our dwellings on the Sabbath. But this was a unique situation, just like Nehemiah at that time, who told the people to keep the gate shut because they were buying and selling on the Sabbath, something else we're not to be doing. Not only are we not to work on the Sabbath, we're not to be buying and selling and doing our own thing, basically trying to increase our wealth or whatever it may be. Nothing wrong with increase, but, you know, there's 6 days to do that. And we're told 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day is a rest. And I was told today, oh, this is your church day. And I almost went into a speech, but I just bit my tongue and, you know, because I've already told this person. The fact of the matter is the seventh day still exists today. It's Yahweh's Sabbath. It's not ours. And it's something that we're to be honoring, something we're to keep holy. Yahweh says, you know, my Sabbath is holy. You're a holy people. I'm holy. You're supposed to do holy things. You know, this is something that Yahweh did himself. As he kept the Sabbath. He rested on that seventh day. Our restrictor today, so to speak, speaking of, you know, like the gate being shut or not going out of our dwellings, those were steps that had to be taken because the people just would not listen. Well, we're listening today. We're listening because our ears have been unstopped, our eyes have been opened, and we've been given a spirit to understand and to hear and to see. And so our restrictor, so to speak, is the Holy Spirit of Yahweh. And if you push past it, no other law is going to help. It is our gate. It is our head, so to speak, that keeps us from the worldly ways of doing things. It's the Spirit of Yahweh that keeps us focused on his will and on his ways. It's something that Israel did not have abiding within themselves, but it's something that those in Messiah have today within themselves. So it's something that helps. Another thing we find in Exodus 17 is at Rephidim. It's a the root word of that meaning spread out or refresh. They were again thirsty and were again upset to the point of wanting to stone Moses. In verse 4 we find here. But Exodus 17, 1 through 4, we read, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages. They went out in ranks because of the great multitude of them. It's estimated that there were well over 2 million, but with the women and children, because the men counted as about 600,000. And of course, they had the other things such as the cattle and of course, their wares and such that they took with them. It says, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages or by these ranks from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of Yahweh, encamped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? You know, Yahweh is bringing us out and he's going to help us. He said, why do you test Yahweh? Verse 3, but the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst. So Moses cried out to Yahweh, saying, what shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me. How bad can it get? How bad can an attitude get? An attitude of negativity or complaining. It can get pretty bad. It can get to the point where we want to do someone harm. Just like the people here wanted to evidently harm Moses. They were getting that bad. You know, do we forget what Yahweh has done for us in the past? It's interesting that they should complain about not having water again. They knew Yahweh provided before at Marah, those bitter waters that were made sweet. They were able to drink. They were satisfied. Shouldn't they have realized He would have provided again? Seems like common sense. But if we were in that situation, what would we have done? What would we have done without Yahweh's Spirit? But yet they saw Yahweh's power and strength of His Spirit in the plagues that were given to Egypt there, and that they experienced themselves initially. They saw the walls of water. They saw the Egyptians. They were taken care of by Yahweh. Their enemy was destroyed before their eyes. Wow, what a great witness, what a great testimony, yet the people still complained. Not good. Do we ever get pushed? Do we ever push or get pushy to get our own way? Do we get angry when we don't get our way right away? It happens. But just as we can count the blessings of the week, or I should say, just as we could complain about certain things during the week, we can count the blessings during the week. And that's what we should be counting, the blessings. And seeing how Yahweh is working out things in our life. Even though He allows things to be presented to us that we may think we don't want to deal with it, you know, He knows that we can deal with it. He knows that we can do what's right. And we're given the opportunity to make those decisions. One of the blessings we see here is that they were given, in this Exodus 17 account, they were given water from the rock. And in addition, another enemy was destroyed before them. Going on to verse 8 through 13 of Exodus 17, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Today or tomorrow I will station myself at the top of the hill with a staff of Elohim in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. When he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on another. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So they got that frustration worked out. Yahweh knew they had this tension built up within them. They were ready to stone Moses. I could just see, you know, Yahweh going, okay, I'm going to send these people over and get that anxiety, that stress that they're dealing with out of them. And I imagine they were exhausted after this battle. But Yahweh has an interesting way of dealing with us at times. For the Israelites at this time, they were ready to stone Moses, so Yahweh provided a way to get their frustrations out with the enemy, the Amalekites. At Horeb, this is a seventh time we could see as a testing of Yahweh. It's a desert region, and considered the mountain range of Mount Sinai, a part of that. And Yahweh at this point starts to seriously punish the Israelites for their disobedience. They became utterly corrupt with worship, Egyptian style. Remember the golden calf. Exodus 32, 7 through 10. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, go down at once for your people. Interesting, he said, should say, it's no longer my people, it's your people now. Your people, whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed it sacrifice to it, and said, "This is your Elohim, O Israel, who brought you out from the land of Egypt." Yahweh said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people, headstrong, stiff neck. Now then, let me alone, and my anger may, let my anger burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I will make you a great nation." Did it end there? No. Exodus 32:25-28. "Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies, then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, 'Whoever is for Yahweh, come to me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. He said to them, 'Thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, every man of you put on his sword on his thigh and go back and forth from the gate to the gate to gate to the camp, and kill every man his brother, every man his friend, every man his neighbor.' So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed. About 3,000 men of the people fell that day." So not all of them, but enough to get their attention. And sometimes Yahweh does things in our life to get our attention. Hopefully not as drastic, but when we find ourselves going off in a different direction than the direction we should be going, sometimes he'll get our attention if he's still working with us, and he'll allow us to repent and turn back. And he did this, he allowed repentance for the Israelites, it seemed like, for a number of times. But there came a point in time when enough was enough. But we find in Exodus 32:29, "Then Moses said, 'Dedicate yourselves today to Yahweh, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today.'" So what did we find? We find the Israelites, at least the Levites, which was a tribe, they went over to Moses' side, and they were blessed. And they became dedicated. And, when we heard Yahweh's calling, we readily accepted it. Just like the Levites did when Moses called the people to Yahweh's side. There actually is a comparison for us today. With the Levites, we see that they came over to Yahweh. They stood up with a sword, with their brother, friend, neighbor. They were given the right to directly be involved in the work of Yahweh. Interestingly enough, those of us in Messiah, we came over to Yahweh. We took up the symbolic sword, which we understand as the Bible. We went to our brothers, friends, neighbors, and we told them. And we used the sword. We also are now given the right to be directly involved in the work of Yahweh. And I've said before that, or compared the Levites here, given the priestly position, but it's kind of like with Israel and Judah. Judah is not all of Israel. Though Judah is Israel, well, the priests were all Levites, but not all Levites were priests. And it's a whole another study. We're not going to get into it today. But in thinking about the priestly position, we're told in, I think it's, Peter tells us that we're a nation of priests, a priestly nation. We're given this high calling, high position, for those that overcome with Yahweh's help, will be priests in the kingdom. We will be a kingdom of priests, literally kings and priests, reigning with Yahshua. And that is not something to take lightly. Again, at Taberah, place of burning, they complained and fire came down. Numbers 11:1-3. "Now the people became..." And this is the eighth time we find. But it says, "Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of Yahweh. And when Yahweh heard it, his anger was kindled." Again, you have to remember, I mean, going back to the Sabbath, Yahweh started to get angry. Then, when they made the idol, that was enough. He allowed a number of people to die. Again, they're continuing. And Yahweh is still at this higher level of being angry with them. "And his anger was kindled, and the fire of Yahweh burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to Yahweh, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of Yahweh burned among them. Interestingly enough, we still find a blessing. The blessing was that they cried out, and the fire stopped. So Yahweh was still working with them and hearing their cries. Lesson application for us, when we make a mistake, and we will, what should our first reaction be? Now, Elder Don is here today among us, and I remember receiving a tape, a video from one of the messages that was given from here. And this was quite a few years ago, but I remember it well. I remember that you misspoke, and you said you're sorry. But I paused the tape and noticed your eyes were going up when you said it. You were saying sorry to Yahweh. And this is how we are to be. We are to put ourselves in a servant's position and humble ourselves before Yahweh. We are to apologize to Him, of course. And if we've harmed anybody, we are to apologize to them too and make amends where we can. But if our focus is correct, people can see and will notice where our hearts are and where our focus is. And our focus needs to be towards Yahweh in a humble and contrite and servant-like attitude. We find another example of them testing, the ancient Israel testing Yahweh, and it involved the foreign element, or the rabble. And we can go to Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6. It says, "This rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing to look at except for this manna.' And that was a blessing. They'd never seen it before. That's why they call it manna. It basically meant, what is this? Or what is it? Yeah, with all of this, Yahweh blessed them. But remember, He's still angry with them. And Yahweh has a way of dealing with His people. Numbers 11, verse 18 through 20. "Say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, "Oh, that someone would give us meat to eat. For we were," you know, am I being sarcastic? Yahweh is sometimes sarcastic too. Yeah, sure, yeah. Put leavening in the offering. Sure, that's great. That's just great. You know, of course, leavening in an offering is not permitted. But it goes on here to say, "Oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt." Yeah, really well off. You know, people, they get blinded of their situation. They can't see the darkness that they are in. And like Elder John, you pointed out earlier, that in the scripture reading, they were darkness. They just weren't in darkness. They were darkness because they were a part of it. They looked as dark as the darkness. So they were dark. It says, "Therefore Yahweh will give you meat to eat, and you shall eat. You shall eat, not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. Because you have rejected," and this is the reason, "because you have rejected Yahweh who is among you and have wept before Him saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" I'm glad we're not like this. I don't see us complaining like this, but, you know, the possibility exists. You know, could I have said this, you know, could I have complained quite a bit this morning? I suppose I could have. But I bit my tongue. I you know, realized, you know, hey, this is Yahweh's Sabbath day. Be joyful and be happy in it. Sometimes we go through some stress, but, you know, Yahweh gives us a mind to think, and He gives us a spirit to yield to. And if we're yielding to His Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I think part of the lust of the flesh is to complain like there's no tomorrow. But there is a tomorrow. And for Yahweh's people, there's a great reward into eternity. Lessons and applications for us. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. This is the foreign element. This is the rabble in there. And, of course, today we're, you know, in the New Testament, we're told, of course, that there are tares that will rise up. There are men that will rise up teaching perverse things and will try to lead others away. These are things that we have to deal with. We've been told ahead of time that they'll occur. And it's not easy to go through such things, but go through them we must. And we have to persevere. This rabble's greed seemed to affect the Israelites to a certain degree. Today we get bombarded with commercials on TV, radio ads, ads in the paper, signs on the major freaways, just coming to the Sabbath. Sometimes it's the influences around us that we need to be on alert about. Doesn't Scripture say, don't be deceived, bad company corrupts good character? We need to limit our exposure to some of these things. In fact, many of these things. And the world, says, well, what's wrong with you? Why won't you go and join with us to this party of debauchery over here or whatever it may be? They don't understand. Try to explain it, and they say, oh, you keep that church day. this is your church day. They don't understand. And even Joshua on the stake said, Yahweh, please forgive them. They don't understand what they are doing. And it's true. People are in such darkness that they are the darkness. They blend right into the darkness because they can't see it. So the people kept looking around to the physical rather than the spiritual. They kept looking back to Egypt rather than the promised land. They were given so much quail it made them sick. So be careful what you ask for. You might get it. At Kadesh Barnea, Numbers 14, 1 through 6, they spied out the land, and what happened?
We'll never make it.
Well, some of them basically said that. Numbers 14, 1 through 6. Then all the congregation lift up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is Yahweh bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Let's just take it into our own hands. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of the assembly. What's our first reaction to be? Yahweh. Focus on Yahweh. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly and the congregation of the sons of Israel, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and those who had spied out the land tore their clothes. Verse 7 through 12 here of Numbers 14. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If Yahweh is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Yahweh, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. We'll be over them, not them over us. They are willing to overcome. And that's something Yahweh wants to see in us as well, a willingness to overcome. Verse 10, but all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. Moses pleads for the people. Yahweh said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me? Despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst, I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they. And indeed, he can do such a thing. At this point, Yahweh had enough. We read on in Numbers 14, 22 through 24. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I perform in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. But my servant Caleb, because why? Because he had a different spirit and has followed me fully. Spirit and obedience. I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. The blessing? The blessing of all this is that those that followed Yahweh were obedient, faithful to him, and had that different spirit or attitude about them. They were allowed, along with those that were not of the age of accountability, to enter into the promised land. The lesson application for us is that our life can be spent on thinking and worrying about things that may not work out. We can wish it were better. We can wish it were different. Is this the attitude we are to have, though? Or, alternatively, can we have the hope and courage of the likes of Joshua and Caleb? And the answer, of course, is yes, we can. The lesson application is clear for us. We, with Yahweh's Spirit, can have patience and a loving attitude towards others. We, with Yahweh's Spirit, can be joyful and happy. We, with Yahweh's Spirit, can look toward Yahweh and seek His will out in our lives and do His will and follow His Spirit. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt and the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these times and have not listened to my voice, they shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. For us, with Yahweh's Spirit, eternal life is promised. And there's still promises. And we're offered eternal life, an eternal kingdom. And it's not something to sneeze at or disregard, something to take very seriously. Yahweh destroyed those who didn't believe. We see this is something that we're told. Jude 1 on verse 5. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that Yahweh, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. We hear so much today about believing, but little about obeying. What is unbelief? Is it just complaining? Can complaining lead to disobedience? It sure did for the Israelites. Their attitude was one of complacency when Yahweh instructed them. They had a bad attitude that led them to right into sin. Unbelief was related to disobedience. We may not think that we test Yahweh with how we sometimes think, but that is an example we see with the Israelites. Yahweh himself says they tested him with their attitude towards his leaders, towards his instructions. They tested him with their attitude towards him. Do we ever do the same? It's a road best gotten off of if we ever find ourselves on it. And it's important that we understand disobedience really does equate unbelief. And those in Messiah were being taught this in the New Testament. Hebrews 3:7-12. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. What time period is He talking about? He's talking about the Israelites when they provoked Him. But this is in the New Testament, and specifically believers are being addressed here, those with Yahweh's Spirit. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoke me, as in the day of trial of the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. We hear a lot about the heart today. We don't want to go astray in the heart. But that involves actions as well. It says, and they did not know my ways. What are his ways? His commandments, his statutes, his judgments. Those are his ways. Verse 11, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Why? Because they did not know his ways, because they didn't do his ways, because they didn't follow with their heart. The peril of unbelief. Verse 12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living Elohim. going on, verse 13 through 19. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Messiah if we hold fast to the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't be deceived by sin. Don't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, follow his spirit, obey his word, do his will, overcome. Don't be overcome. Verse 16, for who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Verse 17, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who had sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? So we see, we understand. This was comprehended at the time, in the New Testament times, among believers. We see, we understand that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. But he just got finished saying, those who were disobedient. So unbelief and disobedience, the same thing. Do we want to enter the promised land? We are the children of Israel, having come out of symbolic Egypt, and are now sojourning in the wilderness, looking forward to a promised land. The Spirit imparts the ability to be in the right attitude towards Yahweh. Let's not forget what happened to those who turned their hearts back to Egypt. On the way to the promised land, do we complain about our finances, the weather, other people, our bosses? Do we ever consider we may very well be complaining against our Creator? Let's not put him to the test as ancient Israel did. These are better things, or there are better things for Yahweh's people today. Look up, look forward, look towards Yahweh and the coming kingdom, but never look back nor yearn to go back to Egypt. There is nothing there for us, and our home, our heavenly home, is awaiting. And it's coming in the New Jerusalem. It is for all those who love Yahweh and do his will in Yahshua the Messiah. This is the lesson and application for us today. We are to learn from ancient Israel and be the Israel today that Yahweh expects us to be, an obedient and faithful people. Revelation 14, 12 through 3. We'll close with this. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of Yahweh and their faith in Yahshua. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Master from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Amen.